Jesus said we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love thy neighbor as yourself. Very simple instructions. And this is session four, the closing session of the Tongues with Interpretation and Prophecy class. Life is all about loving. Life is all about loving God first. And that's the whole point of being here on this earth, to let everything we do here be done out of love. Focusing on God, asking Him to direct our steps. And to make that happen, we need to make Jesus our Lord, not just our Savior. So when God says in His Word, these things are the commandments of the Lord, we do them. We don't argue, we don't doubt. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. And you know, that's something every one of us, including me, has to work on every single day. Because in this crazy world, it is very easy to fall into self-pity and selfishness. And what about me? What about me? What about me? But when we really love God, we put others first and we're willing to be third. You know, we just, God first, others second, I'm willing to be third. Because God's going to take care of me. God is going to take care of you. You know, I never remember Jesus ever praying a prayer to ask for a physical thing for himself, practical thing. Why? Because he's so focused on doing God's will. Everything Jesus needed, it was just there. It was supplied. I mean, he got supplied at birth when the Magi came and loaded him up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When he needed to pay the temple tax, he told Peter, go out, throw your fishing line in the lake, and the first fish you pull out, look in his mouth, and there was the tax in the fish's mouth. Jesus never worried. He trusted. Jesus never worried. And folks, we don't love ourselves because of our good works. You're never going to do enough works to love yourself. You know how you love yourself? By appreciating the Christ in you. By appreciating the Christ in you. You love the Christ in you and the rest will follow. Because it's not your flesh, but it's Holy Spirit that makes you awesome. But thinking this way on a regular basis, it takes effort. It's called the renewed mind, where we're building new mental habits. In Jeremiah 4:3, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah to say, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Remember the sower and the seed? The good seed grows up in that good and tender soil, that good and tender heart. And that's what this is talking about here. And in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, to sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Be aware of the favor and grace of God in your life all the time, and you will be thankful and blessed and in a good place. Break up your fallow ground, again talking about the heart, for it is time to seek the Lord. You know when it's time to seek the Lord? Every day, all day. There's never a time we don't need to seek the Lord. And we are so full of His blessings, folks, when we get our head in the right place, that's when we have more than enough to share with other people. And that all comes out of a tender heart. And this is why we desire or we're zealous to speak in tongues and interpret in the church, because we have a tender heart and we want to bless other people. But to do that, we have to get out of our fleshly thinking so that we can let Jesus, the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, shine. We have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And the best way I know to keep a tender heart is to live 1 Corinthians 13. So if you turn there, please. I'm reading out of the New International Version. because the King James keeps translating it charity, but that word charity should be the word love. Love, love, love. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak in tongues of men or of angels, and tongues are always a language of man or a language of angels. And people say, well, that's just talking about you. God gives you the ability to speak in a foreign tongue to witness in somebody in another country. I don't think anybody teaches angel. Can you sign up in college for a Spanish class and then sign up for an angel language class? No, this is supernatural stuff. Men are angels. Your tongue will always be in something on this earth or something in heaven, a language of angels. But even if you can do that, but you don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong, or clanging cymbal, noise, 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 just bringing attention to myself. If I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, boy, you understand how to rightly divide this word, you get what it means, and I have faith so I can move mountains. That'd be pretty impressive. But don't have love, I'm nothing. Everything mentioned here, the world would laud to high heavens. Having that kind of prophecy and all that knowledge and have that faith so you could remove mountains. But God says, without love in his book, they count zero, zip, donut. Somebody else may get blessed by your actions, but you're not furthering your relationship with God. They count nothing in eternity. Verse 3. And if I can give all my possessions to the poor and give all my body over to hardship so that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Here are the attributes of God's kind of love. And you'll see that they run counter to a prideful heart. Verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. Can you imagine if we had these attributes in our world today? What a wonderful world it would be. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. That would fix all of our divisions in our country right there. It doesn't dishonor others. Because it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't seek vengeance. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, godly truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This may sound like a tall order, but right now we're full of the fruit of the Spirit, and it helps us do all those things. And I love this promise. I love it. I love it. Verse 8, love never fails. You can say, well, Peg, how can I be loving when this person is taking advantage of me? Or I've got this and this and this to do. I don't have time to help other people. People, if you just flip the switch and walk in love, love never fails. That's why when we speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy, it is imperative. Imperative. Write this in big letters in your heart and in your mind to keep our focus on the Lord and not on our performance, because all of these wonderful things that are listed here don't come by our performance. They come by grace, by focusing on God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But remember, Galatians says that faith is energized by what? Love, love, love. Verse 13, and in the end of time, now all these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But in the end of time, only one is going to remain. You won't need faith because you got to know everything. You won't need hope because Jesus has already taken you into paradise. But you know what's going to remain? Love. The greatest of these is love. And we talk and talk and talk about our faith. Folks, we never have a faith problem. We have a walking in love situation. The church is still putting the cart before the horse because they make faith more important than love, and love is the key to everything. 1 Corinthians 13 is the template for life itself. This is 1 Corinthians 13 is our why for getting up in the morning, which is your assignment every day, every minute, is to walk in love. And that's why 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, follow after love. And then with that heart, eagerly desire to manifest the gift of Holy Spirit. If you give me someone with great knowledge of the Bible or someone who knows one verse but has a tender and loving heart, who walks in love, I'll take that guy every time because they are the one who can clearly hear from God. Jesus told his own disciples, they were missing the big miracles, the importance of the miracles that were happening right in front of their eyes. Why? Because they lacked love. They had hardness of heart. They were hung up in themselves. They were arguing among themselves. Who was the smartest? Who could sit on Jesus' right hand? Pride, pride, pride. Self-centered. Not letting go of their old ego-driven ways and putting on the ways of love. Not processing life through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And it messed them up. Pentecost really helped. Because they didn't really repent and get their act together, have a metanoeo until Pentecost. And the power of God moved inside them. And you know, I think that's when they really felt in their body the first time that Ezekiel 26:36 promise. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh of tenderness. People, God gave us a tender heart at the time of the new birth. All we have to do is tap into it. That's why Jesus told us in the sower and the seed, it's up to us to take care of our heart. Because out of it issues life itself. Life itself. You know, when I came to Christ at 23, you've heard this, but it's the truth. And I know people don't even believe this, but it's true. I was the least likely to succeed in the tender heart area. If you've read my book, I Saw the Light, But He Saw Me First in Atlanta, Georgia. I saw a woman, young woman, get shot 3 feet in front of me, shot in the chest. I remember standing over her looking at the red blood coming out of her yellow shirt. And I turned around and walked away. That's about as hard-hearted as you can get. I did nothing to help her. That's just the truth. But thank God, a few years later, I was in those Tomasi apartments, and Jesus woke me up inside. He woke up the sleeping giant inside of me, which was Christ in me, the hope of glory. Truth be told, you know, my childhood traumas, I had developed a heart of stone as my personal means of protection, trying to protect myself, the only way I knew how as a kid. And the scariest thing for me in those early days in the ministry was tearing down the walls of my own defenses and trusting in Jesus to take care of my heart instead. You know how many people are still afraid to let Jesus take care of their heart? They still are putting up subconscious defenses to protect themselves from the world, from looking foolish, from being hurt, from being thought of as not intellectual. All these strongholds, we just need to let them go. And that really was my first big leap of faith. Was curing Peg, curing myself, asking God to cure me, to take down those walls, to give me the guts to take them down. Because, you know, the second thing that came after I took them down was now I was in a position where I had to wrap my mind around having a tender heart. And trusting Jesus literally scared the hell out of me, because when I chose Jesus to sit on the throne of my heart, those demons inside me ran like scalded cats. It literally chased the demons right out of me. I could feel them leaving over periods of time, and the layers of hardness melting away into rivers of genuine compassion for my fellow man. It was awesome, man. It was awesome. It was scary, but it was awesome. You know, when it comes to the things of the spirit, it's skydiving for the soul. I'm a spiritual junkie for adrenaline because I love getting out there with God and doing the impossible with Him. You may have other issues of the heart that affect your ability to genuinely trust God. All I know is that God can clean you just like He cleaned me up. And Jesus wants, desires, is zealous to restore your heart and help you cast down those strongholds so that you can seat Jesus in the throne of your heart and trust Him to be your protector. I'm just getting honest. All you got to do is ask for help. And I'm here to testify. If there's any love in me today, if there's any bowels of mercy in Peg, all praise and all glory go to my Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Every time I look at my own life, I come to the conclusion that God is the only one who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You know, Humpty Dumpty was a big egg. He took a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put that egg back together again. But God sure can. He is the only one who is wired 100% to heal the brokenhearted, to put together the broken soul. I do applaud myself for one thing, and that's having the good sense to make Jesus my Lord, to stay put in the Word of God. Because like Paul, I'm not boasting. I'm just stating facts. I was the chiefest of all sinners. And thank God I knew it. Otherwise, I could have turned into a Pharisee and thought, oh, well, I've never done anything that bad. So really, Jesus didn't have that much to deliver me from. Last time I looked, if you're dead, you're dead. There's no degrees of dead. We were all dead before trespasses and sins before Jesus. It's just some of us recognize our resurrection and our salvation with more appreciation than others. And every time I look in the mirror, I see a living miracle. I see a living miracle whose name is Peg. What a gift. And I want to share this amazing lifestyle of believing with the whole world. Don't you? Well, we've just learned one more of many, many ways to be a giant blessing to others, and that's interpretation and prophecy. Aren't you glad we're doing this stuff? And I believe that through this class now, you know that you know that you can do all things through Christ. He's your strength. He's your wisdom. He's your joy. He's your comfort. And He's not going to let you fall through the cracks ever. He's never going to embarrass you. We only get embarrassed when we go back to our senses. What an honor to be a vessel of holiness to the Lord God Almighty. And the mere fact that God would not only clean me up on the inside, I hope talking about myself gives you hope, because whatever problem you have, I guarantee it probably wasn't as messed up as me. And God's put me back together pretty well. He's put me back together great, actually. but that God would allow me, you know, the least likely to succeed in the spiritual department, to serve the honor, to serve others the bread of life, it still astounds me to this day. When I think about what God's allowed me to do the last almost 50 years, it brings me to tears of thankfulness and joy and appreciation. And I will never comprehend His picks. I just know it says in Corinthians He chose the base things of the world to confound, you know, the self-righteous. Well, that fits me to a T. But I sure as shooting am thankful, thankful, thankful for His grace upon me. And I hope you are too. I hope you are too. I'm not special. I'm just like you. like I said, the only difference is I probably had a much uglier and more sinful past than all you put together. And yet God still took me into his bosom and gave me a life I never dreamed of. How could I not fall in love with Father? How could I not fall in love with Jesus? But you know, the one thing I've got going for me in my life and in my ministry, one word, persistence. Persistence. I just don't give up. I have an unquenchable thirst to order my steps in God's word that I might not sin against him. And just to do his will every day as much as I possibly can, that's called persistence. And our growth depends entirely on our own. Your growth depends on your hunger. How hungry are you for the things of God? Because he's no respecter of persons, and what you put into that relationship is what you'll get back. What you put into giving to others in love is what you'll get back. What you put into tithing is what you'll get back. What you put into teaching is what you'll get back. If it's done in what? L-O-V-E. You know, living by the Spirit is kind of like that old movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Harrison Ford was in this place where he was looking for the Holy Grail, and he was in this place where he had to do all these puzzles and figure these things out. And he came to this ledge where there was a huge crevasse in front of him. And the grail was on the other side, and his father, I think, was dying or something. And he needed this to get his father well. And his father whispered, "You must believe. You must believe." And he's stepping there. His toes are off that ledge. And you just see this sheer drop off for hundreds of feet. And he just said, "I'm going to take a leap of faith." And when he just closed his eyes and took that first step, he went down about 8 inches. And boom, he stepped right onto a hidden rock bridge. You couldn't see it from his vantage point, but there it was. There it was. And when he took that step, Jesus, that's what I think of. The rock was right there for him to step on when he took that leap of faith. People, that's Christ in you. That's the rock, Jesus Christ. We can't see him with our own eyes, but he's always, always, always there. Jesus is our solid rock, our present help in time of trouble. Whether we see him or not, he's there. But we sure see the effects of believing that he's there through signs, miracles, and wonders. And Jesus makes your feet like hind's feet, so you know exactly where to step to do the will of God and put you on solid ground. We'll miss it if we're all wrapped up in fear, worry, doubt. Because if you really want to live for God, I'm telling you, you're in for one of the greatest adventures in your whole life. Again, I go back to my book. I read that book and it's hard for me to believe I got all these signs, miracles, and wonders. It surprises me God did all these wonderful things in my life. But he did, because I just reached out my hand and said, "I believe. I believe. I believe." And today we've just learned everything we need to know, really, from the Bible about how to give in the body of Christ, tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And if there's a banner that you have in your head at the end of this class, I really hope it is, "Let everything that we do be done in love." Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to get together and learn how to speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy, to bless the church, to edify the church, to comfort the church, to build up fellow believers in the body of Christ. All these manifestations come from the one self-same Spirit, which is you, and you told us that you commanded us to be zealous, to desire to do these things more and more. Can we ever do your will too much? No. So, Father, we seek your guidance. We seek your wisdom. And right now, for those who need it, I ask you to tenderize their hearts so that they can receive this as the grace of God and not by works, lest any man should boast. That you can help us learn to do everything that we do. Let it be done in love, to the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.